Good morning.
Good morning.
My name is Randy Toflin, and I've been asked to fill in for Pastor Jim this morning. So if you weren't aware of that and you still came, you're stuck with me. But I'm glad that that you got the memo. We're back to two services. You all here on time. We'll see how many still show up at 9 o'clock, and hopefully they'll go down and grab a cup of coffee and wait for the 10 o'clock service. But nice to have you here. Thank you. A beautiful sunny day after a terrible week of wind and rain, but perhaps we're on the break of spring here. Pastor Jim is with the Rolex at our synod meetings, and we're hoping that they have a spiritual and wonderful convention this week and this weekend. But I'm thrilled that you're here to worship with us. Looking at the bulletins, I'd encourage you, of course, to read the back of the bulletin for your announcements. But there's one I'd like to call out, and that is the choir practice this Wednesday. And with that, I'd like to make an introduction. Bill, would you stand up? So this is Bill Berdarius. Bill is going to be leading the choir through the month of July. So we have a transitional period here that we're very pleased that Bill has joined us. So Bill, welcome, and we look forward to worshiping and singing with you. And like Carolyn Morris has joined us in the front, which we're thrilled to have a new face and a new voice in the choir. We're encouraging new members as well, so great time to join with a new director, and we would love to have some new voices. So if that's been something on your mind for some time to maybe join the choir, Wednesday evening at 6 o'clock would be a great time to start for that. I'm going to ask Sandy Pullen, our council president. She has a few things that she would like to say at this time.
This has nothing to do with council president. a few months ago, we started, you all got a little marker with the Love Like Jesus from the ELCA. And we've gone through all the words on this little bookmark and today we're going to do the last word, which is encourage. It's been postponed for many weeks, and here we go. When I've always done this, I've always gotten, all of a sudden, something helps me. And that's the same thing that happened with this. First of all, I looked it up in the dictionary. Do you know what the word encourage means? You probably all have an idea in your heart and in your mind. And it actually means to inspire someone with hope, courage, and confidence, and to give support. I have a very dear friend from this congregation right now that's going through a very hard time. And while I was visiting with and encouraging her, and I told her I had this to do today, and she said, I've got the perfect thing to read to you. So here's my help. It's a story called Potato Chips. A little boy wanted to meet God. He knew this was going to be a very long trip, because he knew God lived way far away. So he got up in the morning, and he packed his suitcase with a bag of potato chips and a six-pack of root beer, and he started his journey. When he'd gone about three blocks, he met an old man. The man was sitting in the park, just sitting there, watching some pigeons. The boy sat down next to him and opened his suitcase. He was about to take a drink of his root beer when he noticed that the old man looked kind of hungry, so he offered him some chips. The old man gratefully accepted and smiled at him. His smile was so pretty that the boy wanted to see it again, so he offered the man some of his root beer, and again he got a smile. The little boy was delighted. He sat there all afternoon with this man, eating and smiling, but they never said a word. As twilight approached, the boy realized how tired he was, and he got up to leave. But after he'd gone just a few steps, he turned around, he ran back to the old man and gave him a great big hug. And in turn, he got the biggest smile ever. When the boy opened the door to his house a little later, his mother was surprised to look at the joy that was on his face. She asked, "What in the world did you do today that made you so happy?" And he said, "I had lunch with God. You know, what he has the most beautiful smile I've ever seen." Meanwhile, the old man had returned to his home, and his son asked him, "Dad, what made you so happy today?" "I ate potato chips in the park with God. I was really surprised at how young he was." Too often, we underestimate the power of a little touch, a smile, just a kind word, and a listening ear, and maybe an honest compliment. That's what encouragement is. That's what it means to encourage. Please keep this in mind this week and try to see how many people you can encourage. Thank you.
Thank you, Sandy. As Pastor Jim would do, he played a little trick on me and hid the wireless microphone. So I'm now trying to juggle the handheld mic and the things I do. So if I drop one or the other during the service, you know that Jim won on this one. Let's start with a word of prayer. Kind Heavenly Father, we thank you for this beautiful day. We thank you that so many have come out to worship you. Lord, we just ask that you open our hearts and minds to your spirit this morning. We pray for Pastor Jim and for the Rolicks, and we ask for a safe travel back. And again, Lord, we worship you and praise you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's start with our opening hymn, Savior Like a Shepherd Lead Us, number 789. We'll sing verses 1, 2, and 4, and please rise on the fourth verse. Thank you. Please turn to the confession and forgiveness in your bulletin. Blessed be the God, the Father, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, by whose Spirit we have been reborn to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead.
Amen.
Rejoicing in Christ's victory over sin and death, let us come before God who calls us to repentance. Please take a moment for silent reflection. God of life, by the resurrection of your Son, you make everything new. Newness scares us, and we confess to shutting our doors in fear. We have not listened to voices that challenge us. We have resisted the Holy Spirit moving us in new directions. Our hearts are slow to believe your promises. Forgive us, O God, and renew us to embrace without fear the new life you have given to Jesus Christ. Amen. People of God, Christ is alive, and death has lost its power. Through the waters of baptism, you have been born anew by the living word of God. Know that your sins are forgiven in Jesus' name, and that the Spirit of the risen Christ is alive in you both now and forever. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let's join together in the prayer of the day. O God, your Son makes himself known to all his disciples. In the breaking of bread, open the eyes of our faith, that we may see him in his redeeming work, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated while our choir prepares to sing Jesus Messiah.
All the glory. Our first reading today is from Acts chapter 2, verses 14a through 36 through 41. Today's reading is a conclusion of Peter's sermon preached following the giving of the Holy Spirit to the apostles on the day of Pentecost. The center of his preaching is the bold declaration that God has made that crucified Jesus, both Lord and Christ. The reading. But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them. Therefore, for the entire house of Israel, know that with certainty that God has made him both Lord and Messiah, this Jesus whom you crucified. Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and to the other apostles, Brothers, what should we do? Peter said to them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, so that your sins may be forgiven, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you, for your children, and for all who are far away, everyone whom the Lord has, our God, calls to him. And he testified with many other arguments and exhorted them, saying, Save yourselves from this corrupt generation. So those who welcomed this message were baptized, and that day, about 3,000 were added. Today's psalm is number 116, verses 1 through 4, and verses 12 through 19. Where the dark lettering is, that please respond. And when you see the R, you respond with the refrain at the top. I love the Lord who has heard my voice and listened to my supplication.
For the Lord has given ear to me whenever I call.
The cords of death entangled me. The anguish of the grave came upon me. I came to grief and sorrow.
Then I called upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I pray you, save my life. I will call upon the name of the Lord.
How shall I repay the Lord for all the good things God has done for me?
I will lift up salvation and call on the name of the Lord.
I will fulfill my vows to the Lord in the presence of all God's people.
Precious in your sight, O Lord, is the death of your servants.
O Lord, truly I am your servant. I am your servant, the child of your handmaid. You have freed me from my bonds.
I will offer you the sacrifice of thanksgiving and call upon the name of the Lord. I will call on the name of the Lord.
I will fulfill my vows to the Lord in the presence of all God's people.
In the courts of the Lord's house, in the midst of you, O Jerusalem, hallelujah, I will call on the name of the Lord.
Here ends the the Psalms. Please stand for reading of the Gospel.
Today's Gospel is from Luke 24, verses 13 through 35. The colorful story of Jesus' appearance to two disciples on the road to Emmaus answers the question of how Jesus is to be recognized among us. Here he is revealed through the Scriptures and in the breaking of bread. Now on that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and talking with each other about all the things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing, Jesus himself came near and went with them, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, looking sad, "What are you discussing with each other while you walk along?" They stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem who does not know the things that have taken place there in these days?" He asked them, "What things?" They replied, "The things about Jesus of Nazareth, who is a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and leaders handed him over to be condemned to death and crucified. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things took place. Moreover, some women of our group astounded us. They were at the tomb early this morning, and when they did not find his body there, they came back and told us that they had indeed seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just the way the women had said, but they did not see him." Then he said to them, "Oh, how foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe that all the prophets have declared. Was it not necessary that the Messiah should suffer these things and then enter into his glory?" Then, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them the things about himself in all the scriptures. As they came near the village to which they were going, he walked ahead as if he was going on. But they urged him strongly, saying, "Stay with us, because it is almost evening and the day is now nearly over." So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, blessed it, and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us from their sight while he was talking to us on the road, while he was opening the scriptures to us?" That same hour they got up and returned to Jerusalem, and they found the 11 and their companions gathered together. They were saying, "The Lord is risen indeed, and he has appeared to Simon." Then they told what had happened on the road and how he had been made known to them in the breaking of bread. Please be seated as we sing our sermon hymn, number 608, "Softly and Tenderly, Jesus is Calling."
Thank you.
Grace and peace to you in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I found in my life there's a big difference between my gift of sight and actually seeing. I'll share an example of this. I'm standing in front of the fridge. Doors are open. I'm searching for something that I hunt and I hunt for. And when I become fully convinced it's not there, I shout, "Lorena, are we out of mustard?" And of course, after I've looked and I've looked, she casually walks up. She reaches in the fridge. She pulls the mustard out that was right there in front of me. And she says, "No, it's right here." Does that sound familiar to any of the other couples out there? Here's another example. Perhaps you've experienced this too. You're in the market for a new vehicle. You've shopped, you've zeroed in on the model that you like, and you think, "This is a great vehicle. I wonder why I haven't seen more of these on the road." And all of a sudden, seems like you can't go a mile and you see that same vehicle over and over again. So obviously when we're looking for something, we are most likely to see it, unless it's like the mustard thing to me in the fridge. But if we're not looking at all, we are certainly likely to miss it. I think it's like that with Jesus sometimes. Our gospel today tells us that these two men are walking on the road to Emmaus. They know what has happened to Jesus, and they're sad and they're confused. They've heard the stories that Jesus might be back, but they're obviously doubtful. So doubtful that they're not looking through eyes that expect to see Jesus that day. So much so that when Jesus is walking right with them, they don't even notice him. The scripture tells us that not until Jesus sat at the table with them at the end of the day did they recognize him. The scripture reads, "He broke bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight." We hear this story now, and we think, these guys must have been kind of dense. Who would miss it if Jesus were standing right next to them? But the reality is, probably a lot of us would. A lot of us just wouldn't have the eyes for it that day. As much as we tend to see things that we're keeping a lookout for, like the new vehicle we've come to like, we often don't if we are not. Some time ago, the Washington Post reported on a violinist who played in the Metro DC station. He played 45 minutes straight. Only 6 people stopped to listen. He made about $32 in tips. He packed up and he went home. The violinist's name is Josh Bell. He's one of the most renowned classical musicians alive. Seats for most of his shows sell for about $100 a piece. And he was playing one of the most complicated pieces ever written. And yet no one realized, because no one was looking for it, and no one was ready to believe that someone like Josh Bell would come and just play in the Metro DC station. I'm wondering if it was that way on the road to Emmaus that day. Who would have expected that Jesus would be walking down this desolate, dusty road, middle of nowhere? Who would have even imagined that possibility? But again, I don't think we're much different. I know certainly I'm not. Because when I look back on things in my life, I can often see where God was at work, but I didn't see the little signs around me at the time, the little indications that God was working in my life, the gestures from people that God was working through, the turns of event that signal that something extraordinary may be happening, the moments that if I had just turned to the side, perhaps I would have seen Jesus walking with me. I've always said that God blessed me with good instincts. And I found over the years, if I trusted those instincts, whether it be in business or in life in general, good outcomes happened more often than not. I often found also that in times of great stress, I awoke in the middle of the night and I had real clarity to a problem that I had been wrestling with. And for years, I chalked this up to those good instincts. But I eventually came to realize that this was often God at work, the Holy Spirit alive in my life or answer to prayer. I just had not been listening for a God answer, and of course, too often relying on my own. I'm sure I'm not unique in that. You've most likely had those moments too. But perhaps if we would just look to the world through Jesus' eyes, we couldn't help but see him all around us. And perhaps if we did that, we would find it so amazing that we wished and just couldn't keep it to ourselves. I'd like to tell you about an amazing friend of mine named Terry. Terry and his wife Ellie have actually worshiped with us here at Bethesda when they've been visiting with us for weekends at the lake. And if you had met Terry on one of his visits, you probably wouldn't have forgotten him. When you meet Terry, you meet this man with an incredible smile and just endless joy. Terry and I he worked for me for many years, and we were fortunate to travel the world together as we visited our offices around the world in places like the UK and India and China. And I often heard Terry ask by our employees, "How can you always be so happy?" And every time Terry took that opportunity to witness that his endless joy came from his Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, Terry never missed the opportunity to witness. Another unique thing about Terry is he lives his life as if he has this direct connect to God. Many times at work when Terry would come to see me, he would start his conversation with, "Randy, God told me I'm supposed to something, whatever it happened to be." Now, I admit that it took a bit for me to get accustomed to, but once I got it, I realized Terry really believed God was telling him to do that, and he really believed that that was a blessing from God, and his faith was so strong that he could feel God was talking directly to him. So when I learned what today's gospel was, I couldn't help but reach out to Terry and ask him if he would share an example of God speaking to him. And here is a bit of what Terry shared. Terry says, "At various times in my life, I've discovered memorable events when I've been open to hear God talking with me. As I've continued in my faith journey, I've become more attuned to conversing with him practically at will. It all started at an early age and continued through my life. I'll list some memorable events in my life where God has spoken to me. The event that I've chosen to share with you is when Terry was 13 years old, and he titled this, "The First Time I Heard God Talking to Me." Terry says, "I grew up Catholic and I went to church every Sunday with my brothers John and Dave and my mom. Dad didn't come as he grew up Lutheran and there was a big separation of churches in the 50s and 60s. Being Catholic, we were required to go to confession on Saturday to identify the sins committed and confess those to the priest. One Saturday, the priest deservedly gave me many prayers to say as my list of sins was fairly long. He forgave my sins and then gave me a huge list of repetitious prayers to say. During my prayers, I looked at the crucifix and I asked Jesus, 'Lord, why do I have to go to the priest to review the sins I've committed and ask for forgiveness? Why can't I just go to you directly as you died for me?' At that moment, a voice came into my mind which said, 'You don't, as my spirit lives within you and I am always with you. You can talk with me anytime.' I couldn't believe what had just happened. at that moment, but that was the start of my conversations with God. Terry shared other examples, but I thought, what better to learn from the wisdom of a 13-year-old boy? A lesson that Terry at 13 learned, that listening to God himself, and he's learned and lived it the rest of his life. In closing, I'd like to share a story I recently read about a heart surgeon and a young patient's faith in Jesus. And it changed the surgeon's heart forever, and it read, "Tomorrow I'll open your heart," the surgeon said to the 8-year-old boy. "You'll find Jesus there," the boy said. The surgeon continued, "I'll open your heart and I'll check the damage." "You'll find Jesus there," the boy said. "When I see the damage, I will suture you back up and then think about the next step," said the surgeon. "You will find Jesus in my heart because my Sunday school teacher told me so. She says it says so in the Bible. And besides that, our Sunday school song says he lives there," said the boy. The surgery took place the next day, and after surgery, the surgeon began to make notes of what he had found. In his mind, there was no hope and no cure. The boy would die within a matter of months. The thought began to anger the doctor, and all of a sudden the doctor shouted to God, "Why did you do this to this boy? Why can't he live a normal life?" God spoke to the surgeon's heart and said, "The boy is a part of my flock and will always be a part of my flock. When he is with me, there will be no more suffering and pain. There will be comfort and peace. One day his parents, as well as you, will join my flock, and that flock will continue to grow." The next day, the surgeon went to the boy's room, sat down with the parents beside the bed. In a moment or two, the boy opened his eyes, and he asked very quietly, "What did you find in my heart?" And with tears rolling down his cheeks, the surgeon said, "I found Jesus there." Friends, I don't know when you've experienced Jesus, but the next time you see the brilliance of a sunset, or you take a walk in our woods, or you gaze into the eyes of your child or your grandchild, or you just admire the beauty of your partner, look for Jesus. The next time you perhaps wake up in the middle of the night, you've got clarity to a problem, or you hear that little voice in your ear, listen for Jesus. And as we walk our own Emmaus roads, may we dare to turn and look to those who walk with us to see the light of Christ in them, as I see in you today. Amen. Now I'd ask our ushers to come forward as we sing our offering hymn, "Jesus, the Very Thought of You," number 754. Please rise and join me for the offertory prayer prone on the bottom of page 5. Blessed are you, O God, ruler of heaven and earth. Day by day you shower us with blessings. As you have raised us to new life in Christ, give us glad and generous hearts, ready to praise you and to respond to those in need. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Made alive in Christ and filled with his Spirit, let us pray for the whole church, the world, and of all of God's creation. Please take a moment for silent prayer. We pray for the church, that reborn as children of God, we recognize Christ's presence moving through, within, and among us. Hear us, O God. We pray for creation, that being astounded at the earth's goodness, we live and work in a wise and sustainable manner. Hear us, O God. We pray for the world and those who govern, that when blinded by fear and mistrust, eyes are open to ways of freedom and reconciliation. Hear us, O God. We pray for those in need, those who are homeless, lost, bereaved, orphaned, or sick, and all others on our hearts today. Make known to them the wholeness you alone can bring. Hear us, O God. We pray for the newly baptized that they that daily discover Christ walking before, beside, and behind them, wherever their paths may lead. Hear us, O God. We give thanks for the saints, though we see dimly in this life. We look for Christ's promised glory yet to be relieved. Hear us, O God. Receive our prayers, merciful God, and dwell in us richly through Jesus Christ, our life and our Redeemer. Amen. Please join me in the Apostles' Creed.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand.
You may be seated.
This is where Pastor Jim really got me, so I can't use this at this point. The night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it to all who drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people. For the forgiveness of sin, do this for the remembrance of me." Please join me for the Lord's Prayer.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us.
join us today for communion.
Please turn to the prayer after communion on page 7. God of mercy, we give you thanks for seating at us our table and serving us with the food of eternal life. We who once were dead are now living members of your Son. Awakened by the breathing of your Spirit, send us out to awaken others to the mystery of your love, which is revealed to all the world in the one who came to give himself away, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, watch over your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. Amen. Go in peace. Christ is risen. Our closing hymn is number 545, Lord, dismiss us with your blessing.